Amen. It is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. You know, I came out this morning and someone was walking toward me and they said, I was wondering where you were. It did my heart good. And I would like to say that maybe it's because of him that we have a whole lot more than we had on last Sunday. That's Brother Malachi. I don't know if anybody else knew he was in town besides his daddy. But we're glad that you're all here this morning. Glad that he was able to make it to town safely. And he will be going back out on this evening, I do believe, going back to school. We have been mentioning him in our prayers, in our announcements that he was out of town. And he's not just out of town, he's out of state. Going to college. So we continue to pray for Brother Malachi that he may continue to reach the goals in his life. On this morning, I would like to talk to you in reference to a question that was asked, and I want to say this before I read the question. And I may not read it exactly the way it was, but I think I copied it down like that because it was sent to me in a text message. I guess I can just read the text message, right? Yeah, that's what I can do. My battery's low. I failed the charge on last night, but I'm going to do that. But the question deals with hard-heartedness. Hard-heartedness. And the question is, let me get to it. I know you're used to trying to remember it. When God hardens people's hearts, I often wondered, how could he condemn someone whose heart he had hardened? Is this because is this book chapter and verse saying that the peoples with hardened hearts are blinded by Satan? And the scripture verse that we're going to look at comes from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're just going to start there and we're going to go to some other places. Dealing with hard-heartedness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 1 and come down through verse 6. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, our Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about that just for a moment. And I want you to think very hard about it is a heart condition. It is a heart condition. Now, I want to read something for you here dealing with the heart. There are many conditions of the heart. soft-heartedness. To deal with soft-heartedness, we look at some words that are in comparison with it. Kind-hearted, tender-hearted, mild-heartedness, gentle heart. And there are many other words that can relate to having a soft heart. And we meet people that are compassionate, that are loving, that are kind. And again, it tells that these people are who they are because of their heart. And then we have the people that are hard-heartedness. Hard-heartedness deals with and defined as lacking in sympathetic understanding. If you can grasp that, I believe that you can understand what we are going to be talking about this morning for a little while, dealing with hard-heartedness. It's a condition of the heart. Hard-heartedness and words similar to it, unfeeling, heartless, cold, uncaring, unloving, unconcerned, indifferent, intolerant, unmoved, unkind, uncharitable, unemotional. Remember being at the hospital emergency room with my mom, and they asked her a series of questions dealing with her condition, dealing with how she was feeling, and dealing with the symptoms that she was having. And they asked her, was there anything that she was aware of wrong with her heart? And you have to know my mom to understand her answer. She said, the only thing I could think of is cold-hearted. And she was just, you know, playing with the nurse and letting her know that there's nothing wrong with me. But there was something wrong with her. And it wasn't that she was cold-hearted. She had some other things that she was dealing with. But I believe that as we look at this question and understand why and how God could condemn a person because of the condition of their heart is not because of what he has done. It's because of what they had done or what they were doing or what we are doing. Amen. See, many people, not just the unchristian, but there are many Christians that have a hard heart. There are many of his disciples that developed a hardened heart because of their position, because of their understanding. And that is what we're going to look at this morning again for a short period of time. There are many scriptures that we can use as we talk about this. There are many books that we can go to in God's Word to deal with this. There are only three things that I want to try to get across to you as we answer this question on this morning. And that is going to be the reason, the symptoms, and the cure for hard-heartedness. Mark chapter 8, and the verse is 17. Mark chapter 8 and the verse is 17. And we're going to go up just a little bit there, and we're going to start with verse 14, and we're going to come down a little bit further than verse 19. Mark chapter 8, starting with the 14th verse. See, Jesus has a way of explaining things to people when they ask him. And a lot of times, I want you to know that sometimes when someone asks you a question, we do as Jesus did, do as God did. We answer their question with a question. And so Jesus, as we look here, the Bible states in verse 14, now they had forgotten to bring bread. Let me stop right there. Whose fault is that? You forgot to bring your necessities? Whose fault is that? You know, we get ready to go places from time to time, and Dante, he forgets things. And not just him, but I forget things. Anita forgets things. Whose fault is it? See, we have to learn how to take responsibility for our own actions. It says that they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand? How soon do we forget?" See, the things that we incur in this life, the things that we go through in this life is because of us. Because of our understanding, our hearts are sometimes hardened. And we always want to put the blame on somebody else. But it's our fault. See, it's not that God has hardened the people's hearts, but it's because of the people that their heart is hardened, and God can't do anything about it unless the people change. That's what we need to understand. Even going back and thinking about the Egyptians and Pharaoh in the hardening of their hearts, it is not that God did anything first, but it's the people. The people did what they wanted to do, the rejection of what God desired for them to do, so therefore their hearts were hardened. Then it comes back, you know, and it talks about their hearts being hardened. Then it comes back and talk about God hardening their hearts. See, his word is not going to change just because of you. So therefore, when we look at this and we consider all that is going on, we have to go back and we have to look at that man in the mirror. You know, a lot of times I've told you, when something is going wrong in your life and things are just not going the way you want them to go, go look in the mirror. And say to yourself as you look there, "Not that I look good." Not asking that mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, "Who is the fairest in the land of all?" Don't ask them anything like that. Don't look at that mirror and think that mirror is going to respond back to you or give you a response to the questions that you have. But look in that mirror and talk to yourself and say, "It's all because of me. It's all because of me that my heart is hardened. It's all because of me that I am not doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, that I'm not getting the things that I want." Verse 21 again. The reason for a hardened heart. The question that Jesus asked them, and he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Understand what? Understand that I can take care of you. Understand that when you have nothing, I can give you something. Out of the 5, what was it again? When we look at this, feeding the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said 12. Out of the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said 7. So out of this loaf that they have, how many can he feed? As many as he desires. As many that are hungry. So we should not harden our hearts against our God's word, but we should accept it, readily accept it, being ready to move forward. So again, the reason is because of not understanding what God can do. Not understanding that we are supposed to be obedient unto His Word. In the book of 1 John, in the verses 9. Let me see to make sure I got the right scripture reference here. Let's go to 2 John verse 9. 2 John verse 9. Because of what we do, our hearts are hardened. 2 John 9, the Bible is very clear what it says here. Everyone who goes ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in His teaching has both the Father and the Son. So what are we to do? We're to look at His Word and we're to follow it and we're supposed to abide in it. So don't run around and say that you are godless, because when you do that, you're heartless. There is a God and He's willing to take care of each one of us. Amen. What we have to do is we have to surrender to Him. We have to believe in His Word. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Their unrighteousness, not the unrighteousness of God, because He has no unrighteousness in Him. It's because of the people. They suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Their foolish hearts were darkened. The reason for a hardened heart again is not relying on God. It's not believing in Him. And we need to. We need to rely on Him. We need to believe in Him. We need to trust in His Word and we need to be obedient unto it. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So these people that knew who God was, these people that knew what God required of them, these people that had once did what was right, now their hearts are hardened, their hearts are darkened because they want to do what they want to do. Are you one of those people that just want to do what you want to do, no matter what anybody else says? Because you're your own person? Because you're over the age of 18 and you think you're grown, do you just want to do what you want to do? See, we have to submit to somebody. That's right. We have to submit to our God. We have to submit to authority. We have to do exactly what God desires of us. Now, we can go through the book of Exodus and look at what God told Pharaoh, the message that He sent to him in reference to let my people go. And we can look at how many times Pharaoh, you know, tried to play with God. And when these signs were given from God, that here He brought forth His magicians and all of them, and they brought forth some of the same signs. We still need to know where power comes from. Amen. See, man can't do everything that God do. Man can't even, you know, go and try to reduplicate or whatever, copy the things that God has done. So we find in Exodus chapter 8 in the verses 14. What happened? What happened? We find here in Exodus 8, verse 15, but when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Now we go and we look here and we see many times again in the Bible where it said that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. We also need to understand that Pharaoh had already hardened his heart against what God had commanded, what God wanted to be done. He had hardened his heart. And so we got the reason. And now we need to understand the symptoms of a hard heart. It's because of man. Again, it's because of disobedience that a man's heart is hardened. Now, even with looking at this question and asking, how can God condemn a person whose heart is hardened when he himself has did the hardening? You know, you're going down the wrong road and you got a map in front of you. Whose fault is it that you're going down the wrong road? It's your own fault. It's not the map's fault. But let's say you're using your GPS. And your GPS tells you that you need to make a U-turn. Why is that GPS telling you you need to make a U-turn? Because you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. Somebody said, what, turn left on Elliot? Is that what that thing said earlier? I don't know where you're going. You're already where you need to be. See, we have to understand that there are symptoms in reference to our heart condition. The Bible, again, is very clear when it talks about the hardening of the heart. You go down to verse 19. I mentioned about these people doing some of the same things that God had done. Actually, go to verse 18. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. Why? This is a creation from God. A gnat. You know, how annoying is a gnat? Itty bitty thing. Annoying. Where did he come from? He sometimes is a she. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? But where did it come from? It came from God. He says, the magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. But he could not listen to them as the Lord had said. Again, Pharaoh was just a pawn. He was used by God. God's people in captivity. And here God is ready for them to be released. And Pharaoh continues to say, I will. But he didn't. His heart was hardened. His heart was hardened. The final outcome of Pharaoh's heart being hardened and the Egyptians as well was them drowning in the Red Sea. See, we have to know that when our heart is hardened, we're only destroying ourselves. We need to change. We need to get our lives right. But let's look at something else here in the book of Genesis chapter 6. In the book of Genesis chapter 6 and the verses 5. Genesis chapter 6 and the verses 5. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. wickedness is a symptom of a hardened heart. Of going against what God desires. And these things, the Bible says, and the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Now the Lord's heart is grieved. Man's heart is on wickedness, but God's heart is grieved. See, God knows how to fix his heart. Man get the answer, but man don't do anything about it. The relief that God got from his grieved heart was looking at Noah and his family. Noah, build an ark. You and your family are going to be saved. Those 8 souls were saved. See, God didn't create man just to be creating man. He created man that man may worship him. But man's heart being hardened, turned away from God. And God destroyed every living thing on the face of the earth. See, Noah and his family, they were in the ark. They wasn't walking around on dry land anymore. They were lifted up by water inside the ark. But God destroyed everything that was outside of the ark. The power. But again, the symptoms of a hardened heart is disobedience. But what is the cure? What is the cure for a hardened heart? You need to turn to God. He has the cure. You know, you have some clogged up arteries. Your heart is not getting the required amount of oxygen or blood it needs in order to keep you functioning the way you need to function. What do? You go to the doctor and the doctor tell you, this is what we need to do, or this is what you need to do. You do those things if you want to have a healthy heart. They say Cheerios give you a healthy heart. I don't like those things. I don't eat those things. Again, my doctor tells me when I go, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. Give me that junk food. I'm going to keep my heart healthy. But we have to know that sometimes as our body changes because we get older, that we have to change along with it. We have to change our eating habits. We have to change our exercise habits. We have to change this and we have to change that. Well, if you do not want a hardened heart, if you want a good heart, then you need to change. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. The cure for a hardened heart. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's a great cure, isn't it? Hide the word of God in your heart. Live the way God wants you to live. Follow his commandments. Do what is right. See, a lot of times people like their condition. They like to live, you know, in fear. They like to live the way they want to live. And they want to continue to do the things that they want to do. We can't do that if we want a good heart. You know, we look at the parable of the sower. And we think about the ways that God's word acts in our life because of what we have done. See, we need some good soil. We need some people, you know, you don't have to necessarily get sick. You don't necessarily have to have a hardened heart. You just need to do what God's word says. And continue to be obedient unto him. In the book of Hosea, the chapter is 10 and the verse is 12. In Hosea, the chapter is 10 and the verse is 12. looking at and considering the ways of our God and being, you know, flexible sometimes in what we do and what we say, and make sure again that we are acting the way He wants us to act. So the cure is from God's Word, following Him, getting rid of the hardened heart and having it replaced with a good heart. Hosea 10:12. As they go, I spread over them my net. I will bring them down like birds of the heavens. I will discipline them according to the report made to their congregation. Oh, that's the wrong verse. We there. Don't worry about it. Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, that He may come and rain righteousness upon you. So how are we going to gain this soft heart? We seek God. We do what He wants us to do. We quit acting like the world and we began to act like the children of God that we're supposed to be. Because that's what He's pleased with. That's what He is content with. And that's what we need to do. It's a heart condition. For man to continue to be rebellious against God, it's a heart condition. They don't want to change. They want to continue to live the way they want to live. So how can He condemn them? By His Word. That's how He can condemn them. It's just that simple. You know, you're taking a test and you're like, I almost got the right. You did what? You almost got the right answer. Almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. If it's wrong according to God's Word, it is wrong. So the cure is following after His Word. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 13 and the verses 15. Well, let's go back up to verse 14. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah fulfilled that says, in Matthew 13, verse 14, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their eyes they can barely hear. With their ears they can barely hear. And with their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. The cure is very, very simple. Turn from wickedness. Turn to God. His Word is our instruction. His Word will take us where we need to be. It will take us where we need to go. It will deliver us from a hardened heart. So let's do what's right. And let's continue to look at His Word. And let's continue to be obedient unto Him. So how can God condemn someone whose heart He has hardened? God's Word is not going to change. If your heart has been hardened because of your disbelief, because of your sins, because you forgot to take bread, fix it. Fix it. And the only way that you can fix it is by going to or coming to the great fixer. And that is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. The great physician is our God. Put your trust in Him. Amen. Let your heart be softened instead of hardened. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, ask yourself this question. Why? That's the question that you always ask, isn't it? When someone tells you to do something, why? Ask yourself why you are not a child of God. And it's one or two reasons that you don't fully trust in His word, or you think that there is no heaven or hell. Well, that's, again, that's trusting in His word. Or you just love the ways of the world. One of two reasons. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. Become one. Come forth and make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in the watery grave of baptism. That's what saves. That's what saves. Amen. Let's do what's right before Him today. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away from His fold. We're asking you to come back before it's everlasting too late. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.